Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
By the time Hannah turned 18, she was living alone in the house where she had been born. It wasn't entirely by design. Her father worked long hours and often stayed at his fiancée's home half an hour away. The arrangement suited everyone. Hannah had privacy and responsibility. He had convenience. On paper, it was practical. In reality, the house had always felt divided. Years before she was born, her parents added an extension so there would be enough space for a growing family. Most haunting stories begin with something old, creaking beams, original foundations, forgotten histories. In Hannah's case, the unease had always been tied to the new build, specifically the downstairs bathroom. The extension added two things, a small loft above the new section and a second bathroom directly beneath it. For as long as she could remember, Hannah avoided using that bathroom whenever possible. Even as a child, she would wait for the upstairs one rather than step into the newer space alone. The feeling was not dramatic. It wasn't terror. It was exposure. The sensation of being watched. As a child, she attributed it to imagination. She had been religious for a time, the only one in her family. Later, she drifted towards science and philosophy, trying to anchor herself in explanations. The unease never fully disappeared, but it dulled enough to ignore. When she was younger, her nightmares were constant and always tied to the extension side of the house. After her parents separated and she moved away for a few years, they stopped. When she moved back in at 18 and took over the old side bedroom, the one her brother had used, she noticed something unsettling. The nightmares didn't return. It was the new part of the house that had always been active. Living alone amplified everything. Small noises no longer had easy explanations. When the house settled at night, it sounded deliberate. When doors shifted slightly in their frames, the sound carried weight. The downstairs bathroom became unavoidable once she was the only one there. There were evenings when she stood at the top of the stairs arguing with herself, knowing she needed a shower, but dreading the room. The first time the door moved while she was inside as an adult, she told herself it was air pressure. She had been brushing her teeth when she saw the handle twitch. It didn't fling open. It turned slowly and the door edged inward, stopping halfway. She stood still, toothbrush in hand, waiting for some secondary confirmation. A draft, a change in temperature, a creak in the house's structure. Nothing followed. She walked forward and closed it firmly. It opened again. Not violently, not theatrically. Just enough to remind her she was not imagining it. The mirror above the sink began fogging slightly from the shower steam, and through that haze she noticed faint impressions appearing in the condensation. Small handprints, not adult-sized, not smudges from routine use. They formed slowly, as though pressed from the other side of the glass. She did not scream. She wiped them away and left the bathroom immediately. After that, she began keeping the upstairs bathroom light on at night, even if she wasn't using it. The glow from the old side of the house felt safer. Then the sounds began. Twice in the same month, while home alone, she heard what she was certain was someone downstairs. Not settling pipes, not wind. The sounds were specific. A door opening, something soft hitting the floor, the scrape of movement across tile. Once she distinctly heard the downstairs bathroom door open while she was in her bedroom upstairs. Her heart pounded so hard she could feel it in her ears. She crept down with her phone ready to dial emergency services. Nothing was out of place. The back sensor light had not triggered. No windows were open. Nothing had been moved. It would have been easier if something had been. The final shift came after her grandfather died. He had been a steady presence in her life, and when he passed, she adopted his two cats, Benedict, white and silent due to a medical condition, and Rami, black and painfully shy. They had been devoted to her grandfather, and bringing them into the house felt like bringing a fragment of him home. The cats adjusted slowly. At first, they wandered the rooms as if searching for him. Then one evening, something changed. Hannah was sitting on the sofa when the hall door opened by itself, not wide, just enough. Rami bolted down the stairs immediately, meowing loudly, louder than Hannah had ever heard him. He ran straight toward the open doorway and paused, tail raised, body alert. After a few seconds, he turned and came back to the sofa, still vocalizing. Benedict followed, positioning himself on the opposite couch and staring at the empty space beside Hannah as though someone stood there. The air felt occupied. Rami, who rarely tolerated touch, jumped onto the cushion beside her and sat rigid, eyes fixed at shoulder height next to her. Benedict's head tilted slightly, tracking something Hannah could not see. Then Rami meowed again. Hannah responded automatically, the way she had grown used to doing. Before she could make a sound, another meow came from somewhere in the room. It was crude, human in tone, not quite right. Benedict could not produce sound. Rami was directly in front of her, mouth closed. The third sound did not come from either of them. The house went completely still. Hannah did not move for a long time. For the first time since moving back, she began to question whether the extension had been the only source of unease. The cats were reacting to something that seemed to occupy the old side of the house just as easily. Whatever had followed her through childhood, through Suffolk, through the bungalow, through flats, and back again, it had not been confined to geography. It had simply waited. The night of the third meow unsettled Hannah in a way the moving door never had. Doors could be misaligned, old houses shifted. Even the faint handprints and steam could be explained away if someone tried hard enough. But the cats reacting in unison, one mute, one shy, to something unseen beside her, forced a quieter, more uncomfortable line of thinking. Animals do not rationalize, and they either react or they do not. In the days that followed, the house felt subtly altered. Not louder, not more active, just aware. Hannah found herself speaking less when she was alone, moving more deliberately through rooms, as if she were being observed from the periphery. She told herself it was grief. Losing her grandfather had unsettled more than the cats. Grief can bend perception, heighten senses, distort ordinary events. Still, something else pressed at the edges of her thoughts. The dreams. She had almost forgotten about him. When she was 9, living in Suffolk in the old country house by the farm, she began dreaming about a man named Robert. She had never met a Robert. No one in her family carried the name. Yet in the dreams, she knew it instinctively. Sometimes he called himself Rob. He never addressed her directly. He seemed unaware she was there. He complained about back pain and cramping in his hands, muttering about it as though to himself. His fingernails were slightly too long and always dirty. His movements were slow, stiff, deliberate. He did not chase her. He did not threaten her. But his presence filled her bedroom in those dreams so completely that she would wake breathless and drenched in cold sweat. The dreams were always set in her room, not a distorted dream version of it, her exact room. The boiler cupboard in the corner, the window placement, the angle of the bed. Robert would stand near the boiler cupboard most often, leaning slightly as if easing pressure from his spine. After those dreams, she wet the bed twice, something she had never done before or since. Once she woke with a nosebleed. At the time, her mother attributed it to stress, to adjustment, to childhood development. When they moved back to their original town, the dream stopped. Hannah had long ago decided they were a product of a child's mind grappling with unfamiliar surroundings. The Suffolk house had been old, drafty, surrounded by farmland, noises carried. Imagination does the rest. But now, sitting alone in the house where the extension had always unsettled her, she began to reconsider the timeline. The nightmares had started when she first moved into the new bedroom as a child. They had stopped when she moved away. They had not returned when she took her brother's old room on the old side of the house at 18. The extension, the loft above it, the downstairs bathroom beneath it. The man in the dreams had stood most often near a cupboard that housed a boiler. The extension bathroom had its own plumbing, its own pipes, its own hollow spaces between walls. For the first time, Hannah wondered whether the dream figure had been tied to the architecture rather than her imagination. She had never told anyone about Robert in detail, not even her mother. As a child, she had described a man in my room, but adults tend to compress such confessions into categories that make them manageable. Now at 18, alone in the house and responsible for every sound within it, she could no longer dismiss the memory so easily. The disturbances escalated subtly. One afternoon, she was upstairs when she distinctly heard the scrape of something heavy being dragged across the downstairs tiles. Not a quick sound, sustained movement. She stood at the top of the stairs, listening, every muscle rigid. The noise continued for several seconds, then stopped abruptly. When she checked, nothing had moved. Another evening, she heard what sounded like a soft thud, followed by the unmistakable sound of a pillow hitting the floor. It was such a specific noise that she almost laughed in relief. Pillows fall all the time. No pillows had fallen. The cats began reacting at random intervals. Benedict would lift his head sharply and track something across a room. Rami would freeze, ears flattened, then dart toward empty space as though greeting someone entering the house. On one occasion, Hannah watched Rami walk into the downstairs bathroom, stop near the sink, and stare up at the mirror for nearly a full minute. His body was tense, but not frightened. The mirror fogged slightly from humidity. Faint impressions appeared again. Not full handprints this time, just the suggestion of fingertips pressing against glass. Hannah's rational mind continued its defense. She considered condensation patterns, drafts, subconscious expectation. She even set up her phone to record the bathroom one afternoon while she remained upstairs. Nothing happened. But that night, as she lay in bed on the old side of the house, she felt something she had not felt since childhood. Not fear, presence. It was not localized to the extension anymore. It felt mobile. As she drifted toward sleep, she heard a faint sound below, not a door, not scraping, but something like a breath moving through pipework. A slow exhale carried through the walls. Her heart rate increased involuntarily. In the quiet that followed, a memory surfaced unbidden. Robert standing near the boiler cupboard in Suffolk, flexing his hands, complaining about cramps. She opened her eyes. The house was silent. For a long time, she lay there trying to decide whether connecting those details was reasonable or the product of a mind-seeking pattern. Humans create narratives out of coincidence. She knew that. She had studied enough psychology to understand how easily memory can rewrite itself. And yet, the extension had always felt wrong. The downstairs bathroom remained the focal point. The dreams had centered on infrastructure, boilers, pipes, enclosed spaces. And the cats, who had never known Suffolk, never known her childhood bedroom, reacted as though something familiar had entered the house. She did not believe in demons. She did not believe she was cursed. But she began to consider another possibility, one that unsettled her far more than folklore. What if whatever she had experienced as a child had never left? What if it had simply been quiet while she was gone? The shift from suspicion to certainty did not happen with a scream or a slammed door. It happened in silence. A week after the bathroom mirror fogged again, Hannah decided she was done avoiding the room. Avoidance, she realized, had been her strategy since childhood. Wait for the upstairs bath. Keep the light on. Sleep on the old side. Pretend the extension was simply inconvenient. That night, she walked downstairs deliberately. The house was quiet. The cats were both upstairs. She flicked on the bathroom light and stepped inside, closing the door behind her. She locked it. She even tested the handle to confirm it held. The room was small. The mirror above the basin reflected the harsh overhead bulb. Nothing looked unusual. She waited. At first, nothing happened. 5 minutes passed. The house did not creak. The air did not shift. She almost laughed at herself. Then the handle moved, not quickly, not aggressively, just a slow turn testing the lock. Hannah stood frozen in front of the sink. The handle returned to its original position. A few seconds later, it turned again, firmer this time, pressing against the resistance of the lock. Her breath caught in her throat. There was no one in the house. The handle stopped. The silence that followed was heavier than the sound itself. She forced herself to step forward and press her palm flat against the door. It felt solid, immovable. She told herself the mechanism was loose, old hardware shifts. Behind her, the mirror fogged slightly. Not from steam, not from heat, but as though someone had exhaled directly against it. Two clear impressions formed. They were not child-sized this time. They were adult. Five fingers on each side pressed flat and firm. Hannah spun around. The room was empty. Her pulse thundered in her ears. She wiped the glass with shaking hands, erasing the marks, then unlocked the door and stepped out into the hallway. The house looked unchanged, almost offensively normal. Upstairs, both cats were waiting at the top of the stairs. Rami stood rigid, tail puffed slightly, staring past her shoulder toward the extension. Benedict sat beside him, eyes fixed and unblinking. Hannah climbed the stairs slowly. She did not sleep that night. Instead, she sat on her bed on the old side of the house and tried to think like the adult she was supposed to be. Houses settle, metal expands, condensation forms patterns. Cats react to sounds beyond human hearing. But one question refused to leave her. Why had her nightmares stopped when she moved rooms? The next morning, she did something she had avoided for years. She pulled down the loft hatch in the extension side of the house. The smaller loft had always been used for overflow storage, old boxes, holiday decorations, things no one needed daily access to. As a child, it had terrified her. The dolls she once feared had been stored up there, directly above her bedroom. Now, standing on the ladder at 18, she felt no childish panic, only a steady dread. The air inside was stale and dry. Dust coated the beams. Boxes were stacked neatly along the edges. Nothing appeared disturbed. She climbed fully into the loft and scanned the space. In the far corner, near the edge above the bathroom, insulation had been compressed slightly, as though something heavy had rested there repeatedly. Not recently, but not decades ago either. She knelt and pressed her hand into the indentation. The wood beneath was solid. The position aligned almost exactly with where she had stood the night before in the bathroom. A slow realization settled over her. If someone were standing in the loft above that spot, they would be directly above the sink and mirror, directly above where the handprints had formed. Her breath shortened and she listened. The house beneath her was silent. Then she heard it. Not movement, not footsteps. A slow, dragging shift in the insulation behind her. Hannah turned and the sound stopped. The loft hatch remained open below. Sunlight filtered faintly from the landing. No shadows moved, no objects shifted. But the air had changed. It felt occupied. She did not scream. She did not run. She lowered herself carefully down the ladder and closed the hatch. That night, the house was quiet again. The following days brought no new disturbances. The bathroom door remained still. The mirror stayed clear. The scraping noises ceased. Even the cats seemed calmer, less vigilant. It would have been comforting if it had felt like resolution. Instead, it felt like awareness, as though something had recognized that she was no longer a child hiding upstairs. She had stood in the space above it. She had traced the alignment between rooms. She had stopped pretending the new part of the house was merely architectural. Nothing has happened with the same intensity since, and the handprints have not returned. The door has not tested its lock. The cats no longer track invisible shapes beside her. But when Hannah stands in the extension hallway at night, she still feels the difference between the old house and the new. The original structure creaks like wood aging naturally. The extension does not creak. It listens. She does not know whether what she experienced was tied to pipes, memory, grief, suggestion, or something that occupies the thin spaces between walls. She does not believe she is haunted. She does not believe she is special. She only knows that when she moved her life back into the house, something shifted in response. and that sometimes when she passes the downstairs bathroom, she feels a presence not pressing against the door, not testing the handle, but standing quietly above her, waiting. Not for fear, but for acknowledgement.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.